All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Crossover presented by Crossroads Sports on a Monday. Brandon Reeves, Jonathan Birdsong, JB, how are you, my guy?
Dude, I'm fine, but you kind of sounding kind of choppy, man.
I sounding choppy, huh?
Just a little bit. You sound like a computer.
I sound like a computer. Okay, well, maybe. I don't know if I got another headset. Somewhere here, I think.
Brandon, take your headphones out real quick.
Okay. Yep. Is that better? No? Not better. Okay.
That's a whole lot better.
I didn't do anything. I just took them out, put them back in. All right, John. Crossroads Sports, the crossover, presented by everybody. Thank you. Last week we had a monster show. Last week, do some housekeeping, John. We didn't get to talk about everything. So this week we decided to do a two-day show, cover some things on college football, some NBA preseason, some NFL quick notes, and then wrapping it up because Wednesday's going to be a monster show that we'll talk about kind of at the end of the monster. I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. Where do you want to start at?
I want to talk the biggest thing, I want to talk college football, John. College football, the craziness of college football that was this past Saturday. And really, honestly, I want to start local here. I want to talk about the Ball State Cardinals, John. Ball State wins the MAC West. They're going this Friday to Detroit to take on Buffalo for the MAC title. They won the West in a chaos of an ending, John. Chaos, absolutely. You've got 15,000 laterals being on the field. You've got people trying to tackle. Hell, you got the team running on the field thinking it's over. I was waiting for the band, the cheerleaders. This was Cal Stanford all over again. Also, a national news with this. This was all over the place.
That's what it felt like. I kind of felt like, just like everybody else, on the Ball State side of things, that the game was officially over. But, they just hadn't blown the whistle just yet. I think it's a great accomplishment for Ball State. I don't think, even with the COVID, screwing up everybody's season, especially it's including the MAC, because the MAC went to six games, period. That's what they said, right? So, but like nobody still had Ball State University football. as much as we are homers for them, nobody had Ball State University football finishing first in their division. I think if I want to look at if you want to believe any type of preseason, I think they had them in like middle of the pack. But the thing about it is, man, I listened to a conference call this morning with Coach New, and like I said, he's got 22 seniors who kind of took this season and said, like, dude, this is our last ride. And after watching all those guys, from the basketball team kind of lose their opportunity to go to the tournament and go to play into the MAC tournament and potentially go into the NCAA tournament, man, the guys he had on the elder statesman class that he had on his team, man, like, they took this season very seriously. And they maintained it. I'm not saying nobody else did either, man. I'm saying they took their protocols and going back home, traveling, all that. With the utmost care, because like, dude, nobody wants, think about what happened with IU, and I know we're talking about them later, but IU and Ohio State and not had Hope Fiasco, like not having an opponent to play, and the MAC, they haven't necessarily experienced that. So, like I said, hats off to Coach New and Drew Pitt, quarterback. Like I said, he's one of those seniors that kind of wants to, kind of wants to see it get done. They got a tall order though. In Buffalo, but like I said, man, coach, hats off to the Ball State University Cardinals for sure. Winning their division.
Just complete nuts, John. I was watching the game. Just also getting ready for work that day, and I was driving, listening to it. I shut it off, and once I got into work, it was right about that time. I was like, we've lost this one. Next thing you know, I'm just seeing mass chaos all over my screen. But yeah. My God, I was telling my girlfriend, could you imagine if we would have lost that game? We, as because we're Ball State alums.
It didn't look good at halftime. And like I said, the Cardinals, here's the thing. I don't want to get in trouble because I know we got eyes and ears from Ball State, MAC listening and watching, right? But like, I don't feel like nobody in the MAC plays defense.
Not at all.
There's nobody. It's almost as worse as the Big 12, right? But like I said, from an offensive standpoint, man, you can almost – You know what I'm saying? That's the league that kind of favors the offense, man. So, again, going into the game against Buffalo, man, you thought both they had some offense or a dynamic running back. Like I said, Jared Patterson, I think that's his name, that's running back for Buffalo, man. He might not be in nobody's Heisman watch, but, like, you're talking about a guy in five games. So, Buffalo did have some problems, right? I can't compare everybody to Mac. Buffalo did have some problems. So, he played five games, man. He's got over 1,000 yards.
Dude, he had eight touchdowns.
Yeah,
in the game.
Yeah, 18 freaking touchdowns last year. I don't know, man. If I was him, I'd be thinking about going pro. But
he had eight touchdowns and 400 yards rushing, and they gave the NCAA Player of the Week to the girl for kicking the 20-yard kick instead of him.
Right. He's definitely somebody. Hey, well, you know what, Brandon? I know you kind of got to ask the grind from is this a publicity stunt that Vanderbilt kind of pulled? Right, but you know it ain't like the Mac was getting no love anyway. So I'll give him a little love just because he's playing Ball State, and I know Ball State got a tall order in stopping him. He ain't the only person they got to stop. They got a nice intricate offense when it comes to, like, the wideouts, and even the quarterback can get in the end zone himself. But like I said, he's the head of the snake, and like I said, if they don't take care of Jared Patterson, Ball State will be. They ain't gonna worry about no bowl game after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got it on the screen now. Number 22, Buffalo versus Ball State. Ball State right now is the underdog. As we talked about, they're getting 12.5 points this Friday night in the ball game. That's a lot of points, but this Buffalo team, as you mentioned, could put up the points. That's where it makes me a little nervous. Looking at the over-under, if I was betting on this game, which I will be, I'm going to look at the over-under. It's 66.5. Most of these teams don't play defense. Buffalo may get 50 themselves. Ball State can score 21-28, I do think it's going to be a high scoring game. Take the over 66.5 in this one.
Without a doubt. I know you ain't asking for my pick just yet.
Ben, who is your pick? We can do it now. I don't care.
Even though you know what I'm saying, the trade winds blow kind of favor Buffalo, I'm going with Ball State. Ball State in a close one. Like I said, you said 60. I think you might even go higher than that. It might even go to 80 combined score.
You're going to take Ball State. Absolutely. I'll take Buffalo covering this one, unfortunately. I think Ball State's in it, and then I think a late second pick from Plitt, and then they end up getting the 14-16 point win for Buffalo. But I do think it hits the over, absolutely.
Well, here's the deal, man. I kind of asked you, like I said, man, there's no way. From what we kind of saw last year's team, I know teams are different. They transition players, right? And everybody who was younger kind of got older. Shit, man. Here's the thing, man. Again, we always gonna be homers.
It's gonna be hard. You got 22 seniors. You know, like Coach said, it's hard to maintain that unless you have a program that's used to winning, that has the pedigree to win, that year in, year out. You can sustain that 22 seniors and build upon.
Right.
The problem is you've got, is Plitt a senior? I probably should know this, but I don't.
This is last year.
So you got a senior quarterback, Huntley.
He's out. He'll be back next year. Here's what you like, man. You already didn't take Ball State to win the game. So here's what you like. If you're a Cardinals fan, I believe. This is somewhat, even though the Cardinals haven't won an outright title since 1996, when the Cardinals won an outright title, the year it still wasn't an outright title.
No, we lost to Western, no, we lost to Central Michigan. Dan LeFever was the quarterback up in Detroit for the MAC title. We won the West, but we didn't win the whole thing.
Right. So, like, Ball State hasn't won an outright since 1996. They have a bubbling program that's always kind of like middle of the road, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I'm hoping with this COVID, you know what I'm saying, with all this COVID, you know what I'm saying, attention, like anybody who can play games, man, people are going to watch it. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, maybe Ball State can build upon that in years to come. They got the facilities, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the more national exposure you get, I think – even them winning the crazy way they won, John, I think that's a national exposure. You're on ESPN. You're on Fox Sports. Monday morning, First Take, they're talking about it. I mean, that's all. Any publicity is good publicity. That's what I was always told. So you take it, go with it. Yeah, I think Ball State has a chance to sustain. It's a matter of, will these younger classmen, these sophomores and these juniors,
step up? Yeah.
Can they step up? Because you're losing I know your defense is already shaky, but you're losing like Christian Albright.
Right.
You know, he's supposed to be one of your senior leaders.
Right.
You lose him. You lose your starting quarterback. Let's see what you got for next year. I mean, a lot of people, this is house money, if you ask me. Now, if you guys coach new, this is where they expect it to be.
Right.
You know, so we'll see. Shout out. We'll be watching it Friday night. So.
Absolutely.
John, moving ahead to the next one. Who do I have on here? Oh, I want to talk coach firings.
Woo.
In college football. Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the things I have, obviously, you know, we talked about it. Auburn fired Gus Malzahn. Malzahn was fired, let go. I talked about that a couple weeks ago being a possible situation with him being gone. Yeah, absolutely. Tom Herman, Texas, came out and said, hey, Herman's going to stay. He's our guy. Shocking, but maybe they're going to give him because of COVID one more year. We talked about some programs maybe doing that. But here's my thing, John. You know, obviously South Carolina has already named their coach, and they're getting Beamer's son, I think it was, or whoever, out there. Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee is on the hot seat as well. And I think what's happening, John, there's a battle between Tennessee and Auburn of who's going to step up and make the biggest move. Because if Tennessee is already looking to get rid of Pruitt, and it's no concern that Hugh Freeze is already on the radar.
Right. I'm not surprised. I know you mentioned Lovie. I'm not surprised Lovie got fired. Lovie seemed like more of a pro coach. You know what I'm saying? I think he just took the job because he was kind of out of he had just, you know what I'm saying, falling out of favor with the Bears, right? And the landscape nothing on the landscape they didn't want a part of. So I think hopefully Lovie kind of bounced back. There's too much battle knowledge defensively for him to be on the sideline like that. So maybe he may switch back to the NFL. But like when you talk about Gus Malzahn, dude, the university had to eat like 20-some plus million dollars.
And he was overrated to begin with.
Well, there was
a title.
If you think about it, it was a love affair between 2013 and 2017. Right? Uh-huh. He gave him another big extension. You know what I'm saying? And technically, Brandon, like, how he probably argued out, like, who else is beating the big bad wolf, Nick Saban? Out of the past, his 8 seasons, man, he was the only one to beat him like 3 times. So, like, dude, I beat Nick Saban 3 times. But, like, you know what I'm saying? They don't want – in the SEC, it's either just get to the championship game, you know what I'm saying, the SEC championship game and the national championship game, or nothing. So you kind of – I don't know if you're fans of those programs, you don't necessarily like the – 8 years is not quick turnaround or whatever,
right.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, you ate – like, damn, man, your school – your university ate $28 million because he got a contract, he got a buyout.
And that's why I think, John, they wouldn't do that if they didn't already have their guy in mind.
Sure.
So I think Hugh Freeze is one of those main guys. And I also, call me crazy right now, but I think they may go out and get that Marquio Cristobal out in Oregon. Because he was an offensive defensive coordinator, or one of the coordinators for Alabama under Saban previously. So he has recruiting ties already to that state. I can see Auburn, but would you leave Oregon to go to Auburn?
I wouldn't to go to Auburn. I don't know, man. Some of those SEC schools, unless you already got deep.
Unless you already got
I don't know. A lot of times, what's my guy? I can't remember my guy's name. He left Wisconsin and went to Arkansas. He was the man in Wisconsin. He probably could have moonwalked backwards.
Brett Bielman? Or Brett Bielman?
And he went down to Arkansas, and in 2 seasons, they was getting rid of him. You know what I mean? Tennessee, when you mentioned Tennessee, Tennessee's trying to get – they're trying to get back. They're tired of being on – they got just big-time boosters just like Michigan, just like Alabama. And they've been given, right? But they haven't – like, you know, they haven't won a championship since Team Martin. You know what I mean? That's a long time. So Tennessee's trying to get back into – they're trying to get back into it. Auburn's definitely – they always been – you know, I feel like Auburn's – you know, not this year. But I feel like Auburn's always in top three of contention when you talk about the SEC. And this year, like everything, the high power – you know what I'm saying? Throw it down the field type of offense that Gus brought in, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. And like I said, like you said, they kind of know who they want. So they let him go, and they were good with eating that $20-something million.
Yeah, and that's why I think the battle's going to be between Tennessee and who they're going to go after. First of all, from Oregon, top candidate.
I'm trying to get this clicking noise figured out. I still don't know what it is. Like a ghost or something.
It was cool when you had to. There you go. Try one more time.
We'll try that. That better?
When you had the one ear out, it was cool.
Like that. All right. We'll try that. And by the way, shout out Ball State Golf, Coach Mike Fleck. He commented. He said his comment was, remember 2008, Ball State was a 2-touchdown favorite over Buffalo. We turned the table in 2020.
I saw that.
Hey, but shout out. Earlier, I was wearing my Ball State golf shirt, and then I spilled crap on it today. So I had to take it off. I had to do a fish room, but we're going to Indiana Sports Corp now. So, John, here's my other question. As my dog wants to sit up in my lap. Let's talk college football playoff, because it's interesting the fact that you've got Alabama, you've got Notre Dame, and then you've got Ohio State and Clemson. Let's talk about what happens this weekend. If you have Texas State in the five, they're going to play Tennessee this week because they need that win. But if, I guess, likely scenario, if Notre Dame wins, Clemson is out, obviously. And A&M, I think, would move in. If Clemson wins, I think Notre Dame is still in. I think all four teams still stay the same.
Man, somebody's trying to sell me on Iowa State somehow getting in. there's like three or four Big 12 teams that's right in the top 25. Man, the guys, the people who kind of run the championship games, man, I don't think they believe in the Big Ten this year at all. That's the reason why IU is where they're at, as far as the rankings are concerned. You know what I'm saying? The good thing is IU's in the top 10. I don't think at this point, though, IU and Coach Allen are too concerned about if they get, you know, somehow blessed to get to the top five. That's, I don't think that's going to happen, right?
Right.
I think they're just kind of concerned about taking care of, you know what I'm saying, the old up and down game back on Friday, right? They want to take care of business. Maybe even have Purdue look bad, right? And then if the Iowa game is still on, they don't necessarily need it. Right, it'd just be a plus one, but if it's obvious gone, they're trying to get a good New Year's, you know, post New Year's Day bowl, right? Whether I can't remember, as long as they can Papa John's bowl, right? As long as they can Papa John's bowl, man, that's what IU kind of wants, man. They're tired. I mean, everybody likes, you know, bowl season, but like you want one of the, you know, saying the post New Year's, the post New Year's Day bowls, man. I think that they put themselves in position to do exactly that. As far as the championship game, man, Coach in Florida, I said he sounded like a whiner.
Dan Mullen, holy cow. I was just ready to talk about that next. What about those comments? Well, maybe we should have played that game.
Brandon, he's a whiner, but when you pull back the banana, like, what he's saying is kind of true. Now, here's the thing, Dan. You got to go out there and handle your business. You put your team out there, you better go out there and beat LSU.
22-point favorite.
Or whomever. But what he's saying is, well, dude, I'm playing my games. Y'all told me, you know what I'm saying, you told me that games matter, right? So, but that ain't what you told Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? So it seems like a different pair.
Well, maybe if your player went and throw a shoe, there's a minute to go in the game.
Man, they, you know, emotions of the game. But that is ridiculous. But the emotions of the game, man, carry over, man. And that's what kind of happened. Horrible penalty, you know what I'm saying? Even if they go in somehow and beat Alabama still probably going into like 3 or 4, which probably doesn't bode well for Ohio State. I don't know, man. Notre Dame fans, man, you might be in luck, man. There might be two ACC. I think there's potentially two ACC teams make the college playoff, and Notre Dame would be one of them.
Yeah. I was looking at that, John, and that spread, I'll bring it up. Clemson, Notre Dame's getting 10.5 points. We're the underdog by 10.5, and you already beat Clemson once. Trevor Lawrence, is he really worth 10.5 points? Trevor Lawrence has never thrown for 400 some yards in a single game, but yet their backup has against Notre Dame. So, you know, I'm going to take Notre Dame plus the 10.5 points. I think it's closer than that this weekend. I don't get the spread at all.
You take Notre Dame. Are we trying to get back to Notre Dame? Are we trying to get down to South Bend when the world opens, you know what I'm saying, so that we're all on the court, so that they don't send any more media kits that says, no, you're denied. Man, not Notre Dame, not this year. But I still think they can get to the college playoff for sure.
Okay.
Who believes in anything that come out of Big 12, regardless of how many teams are ranked? Like, I can't. Iowa State, no. Baylor, no. No. Oklahoma State, no. Oklahoma, no.
Yes. Army Navy was this weekend. 21-15-0. And rain, a fog. The under, again, John, it's the 16th straight year now in this football game.
Hold on, I didn't hear that last one, Brandon.
I said Army Navy. Army wins 15-0. It was foggy, rainy, and the under hit for the 15th straight year.
Oh, that's how it is all the time in the Army Navy game. Ugly, scrappy, you know, they're power rushing. It looks like rugby kind of game, for sure.
Yeah, Danny Bridges says he put down the EU hat, you swimmer.
Hey, man, IU, Pacers, mother backdrop is the coach, man.
Dude, Danny Bridges better watch it because he's going to make enemies with some of these school franchises. Now he's going to hurt the team. Whether the coach, Pacers, or whoever.
He making no friends around here in 317, for sure.
We talked about Dan Mullen. We talked about Olo and Buck. It's scheduled to be played this Friday, John, but... lots of stuff has not resumed football activities yet. So football's still up in the air.
I get it. Yeah, it might be still up in the air. I think at 108 years tradition, something like that. I think it gets played. It's a Friday night game, you know what I'm saying? Friday night lights, you know what I'm saying? All that football magic kind of might be in their favor. When we look at the analytics of the game, There's a lot of good stories offensively that Purdue got. When you talk about Bell and Moore, and even Plummer, the quarterback, he's kind of had like a redemption since he's been inserted back into the starting lineup or whatever, right? But I don't know, man. Jeff Brohm, if the Hoosiers hang 45-plus on Purdue, Jeff Brohm might find his way back to the contract negotiations with Louisville. Sure,
have you heard of?
Huh?
Did you see the Louisville coach Satterfield? What he said?
No, I didn't catch that.
Huh. John. So this guy, he has been openly out front talking about how he's interested in these other jobs while he's still coaching at Louisville. Okay. They asked it. He said the best thing about living in Louisville is that you're 3 minutes away from the airport.
Yeah,
this dude has 2 feet, all his luggage
already.
But honestly, if you're Purdue, then how long of a leash do you have left with Jeff Brohm before you cut ties, and then where do you look from there?
Here's the thing, man. Same thing about Tom Allen, man. There's a lot of people around the state and probably around, you know, saying, you know, in college football circles are saying Tom Allen leaving IU. If you make the right offer. Right, but he's built a culture here, right? He's built a culture here. He does have some guys coming back. He doesn't necessarily lose everything. You know what I mean? He's got the kid. I know he's got a kid from Lawrence Central, standout going down to Bloomington, man. So you need now. Unfortunately, the great thing about it is you're gonna need 10 more of those. You're gonna need to keep the IU program. You know what I'm saying? The national attention is going to keep on. You're going to need more, you know what I'm saying, locally recognized or even nationally recognized players to come to your university, man. So, Jeff Brohm if somebody would call about him, yes. I don't know about Tom Allen. Tom Allen, like I said, his contract buyout, it ain't small.
Right.
It's like
I don't think he'd leave either.
Huh?
I don't think he would leave.
Right. And so, like I said, it's a damn near death trap to go to to go to the SEC unless you get Alabama, LSU, or Auburn, right? One of those top three jobs in the SEC, damn near death trap. So I don't know. I don't see a lot of guys like Tom Allen or Jeff Rahm unless you know what I'm saying, it becomes very embarrassing. But even then, man, I think you know what I'm saying, they kind of old like that. After that Minnesota game, I'm not Minnesota. They got real. It was Minnesota when Purdue played Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they not going to get rid of Jeff. I joke and kid around, right? But they're not going to get rid of Jeff Rahm, regardless of how you hanging a basketball score on him or not.
Okay, let's take a look real quick, run down to finish off college football. Big Ten title game Saturday at noon, moved from the 8:15 title game. Northwestern number 14 versus Ohio State number 4. Ohio State 20.5-point favorites in this game.
Man, I can't see Patrick Ramsey pulling it out, man. I can't. I hope he can. I hope Northwestern can. You know what I'm saying? If they do, It'll be a one loss blemish, right, on Ohio State's resume. Even though technically don't have enough games to get in, with the Big Ten committee, would they actually do that? Not if Northwestern. I know I'm hyping it up, right? I'm like this man right now. If
you're hyping it up way more than you need to.
If Northwestern beats Ohio State, well, listen, hey man, didn't Ohio State lose last year to Purdue?
2 years ago.
2 years. Oh well, they ain't got Northwestern. They got, even though it's the same percentage, Northwestern ain't got the points. They got the same points. But if they do, it's a 0.1% chance. If they do, man, they go. Is the rules competitive? Still going to simply somehow get Ohio State into the championship game, or does the Big 12 automatically jump over the Big Ten? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not entertaining this one. It's going to be like the score's going to be 58-10. 58-10, Ohio State.
Sure.
So, that's my take. They're going to, Ohio State's going to crush them. 58-10, 63-6, I don't care. Crush City. Notre Dame Clemson, like you said, 10.5 Notre Dame. I'm taking that Notre Dame plus 10.5. What are you taking in that one? I think Clemson wins, but Notre Dame, I think Clemson wins the game, but I think Notre Dame stays within that 10.5. I think it's closer.
For sure. Oh, yeah, I like that. Listen, Trevor Lawrence about to put it all out on display. He's going to show the world why he's the potential number one overall pick for the NFL draft coming up. So, I got Clemson.
Clemson. Okay. Next one I have, John. Because the college football committee wants to keep it so relevant, number 11 Oklahoma versus number 7 Iowa State. Iowa State's the higher-ranked team, but they're the underdog by 5.5 points.
The only thing I like about the Big 12 is on a Saturday morning between 12 and 5 when I'm watching, on a Saturday afternoon, the unpredictableness of the Big 12. So, I'm 40. My guy, Oklahoma State, should have ran away with the Big 12 this year.
Yep.
And even with Texas having a little bit better recruiting class than they have. Oh, my man, the Oklahoma State should have ran away, and that didn't happen. Now we're talking about Iowa State. I can't believe it. That's a blue blood. They're deserving of a top four ranking. You know what I'm saying? I like Oklahoma, to be honest with you, for sure, to play sports.
But to your point there, I'm going to get my headset out when I say this just because I don't have to hear my crunchy noise.
Gotcha.
Ohio State, if they were not in a preseason ranked team at number 4, say they took out all the rankings, John, through 5 games, do you really think they would be in the top 4? I don't think they would be. If they are based on their pedigree, based on their name, and a preseason ranking that we're going to give you of number 4, there's a lot of times these teams are ranked higher than they need to be, and they only have a college football playoff shot because they're in it, and it's theirs to lose. They're always going to be. Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and then take whoever your 4th team you want to be. Once you're in, you're not playing to stay in. You're playing to get to stay, to not fall out. And some of these other teams that don't get a shot, like Iowa State or Cincinnati, some of these teams, it's not fair for them that they don't get a shot. Postal.
I think Cincinnati might give anybody top 4 a good run for their money. And potentially even play spoiler against like a Notre Dame or even Ohio State on a neutral field. But 9 times out of 10, when you mention somebody like Cincinnati or even like the recently one loss BYU, they just don't have enough, you know what I'm saying, to consistently, you know what I'm saying, to win those games. But I think what you're saying, because we want to be fair, right? So,
exactly.
Hey, Brandon, in 2 years, man, it's all the same.
Let me get the next one real quick. Alabama and Florida. Florida has got nothing to play for now. 17.5-point favorites for Alabama.
Big Saves on Crush. I know you have your favorite that play there. It's going to be for the Heisman Trophy winners. I know that nobody kind of talked about that as we have these redacted seasons or whatever, but like, Nick Saban for this year, unless somehow Clemson, they don't, you know what I mean, they can avoid Clemson, which would probably be their hardest, you know, test this year. I don't think, I can't believe me. I think Bama will kind of run away with it.
Sorry, I'm doing a switch right now to see if this maybe beats a little bit.
Is this not think it'll be better? Is that any better?
I'm trying my mic, I'm trying this thing, see what happens. But sounds better on my end a little bit. Hopefully it's on yours. Pac-12, number 15, USC against Washington. Washington is 6.5-point underdogs. USC has quietly been doing their job out there in the Pac-12.
Hey, like I would tell Coach Mullins in Florida, like I just told him, handle your business. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry. We've been talking about this on cross sports episodes, but like, when NCAA said, hey, everybody do your own thing, figure out season, and then we'll figure it out, like, you know, nobody go crazy because the MAC wanted to play 6 games, or the Pac-12 wanted to play, you know, 6 games, or Big Ten wanted to play this amount of games. I can't help it. SEC was just like, let's get out there. We're gung-ho. Let's do it. Right? Not thinking or listening to the wrong advice, right? Thinking and listening to the wrong advice. And like, now here they are. So they have all these games. You know what I'm saying? Most of their teams have played, played a multiple of games, and, you know what I'm saying? Some of them think that Florida, I really think the coach thinks that Florida should be in the top 4 still.
Absolutely, he does.
Because Ohio State and even IU, to that degree, didn't play any games. They have played, I do believe, Florida played like 10 games. Or 9 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's a weird. Of course, that's a misstatement of this year, man. It's a weird statement, man. So, here we are, man. If anything's gonna be an asterisk, it'll probably be this. Unless Alabama, everything will probably have an asterisk on it.
Okay. Moving ahead, John. Let's look at NBA. James Harden drama. James Harden still with the Houston Rockets as of today. He wants out. Your thoughts?
He wants out, man. I had a whole big tirade. Him and Jerry Jones, oh, my God, the egomania, man. You know, I wish I could wake up when they have the money problems that these guys have where they can turn down $50 million, right? If I was advising James Harden, man, dude, sign to take the money that the Houston Rockets want to get 2 years, $105 million for 2 years. James Harden? The guy that every analyst on television or every scout says, you can't win that way. Right? The dribble, tough shot. Like, he got rid of coaches. The general manager, he got rid of Kevin McHale. He got rid of Dan Tony. He got rid of Chris Paul. James Harden, to me and you, and to everybody else, ain't that damn good. Right? I don't even think LeBron James can get that type of movement. You know what I'm saying? From the organization, you know what I'm saying? But like the ownership group loves James Harden. And his dumbass trying to get to Brooklyn. To which I don't know. And we talked about a little bit tonight, but I know we're gonna spend all that on wins. But like, man, he's his dumbass trying to get to Brooklyn? Like, they want here they just get it, and I get it from political crap behind it. Like, dude, if you worried about who was a Trump supporter at Donald Trump law, but if you want to get him, don't lose your mind about it. You know what I'm saying? Don't lose, just because somebody told you that they're Republican or that somebody what they did with Democrats. Don't lose your mind about it. This is still, like, you still got to worry about yourself. You still got to, you know, $110 million in 2 years. He ain't ready to retire in 2 years. He still can get another. Man, he's crazy. But championships and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, that they'll make it so. I don't think that Brooklyn is that stupid enough. They have to trade away, like, everybody. Unless you're talking about Durant, which they're not going to do. Unless you're talking about Kyrie Irving, which they probably should do, as crazy as loopy as he is, right? But, like, right. No, man, let's trade one of those two players, man. You got to trade away, like, they got to trade, like, four pieces to get James Harden, man. Hopefully the folks are listening and think that you can't just trade Joe Harris and then Rudy to get James Harden, even though that's two players that are, you know, they're always kind of like, if you squint, it looks like, you know what I'm saying, all night, they look like all-stars, and, you know what I mean? But, like, you can't, the contracts don't match up. So, if I'm Houston, I'm hoping the whole thing happens. And, you know what I'm saying? If he wants to change, he has to change your heart. It's not like they're not going to be the Warriors. Houston wasn't going to be the Warriors this year anyway. You know what I'm saying? They took on John Wall's contract basically to get Westbrook out of there to make James Harden happy. You know what I'm saying? He might be playing with some guys that he doesn't necessarily like, but it'll be in the short term. Again, time to take the money and run, as Jimmy, as Steve Miller said. That's what I'm going to do. Take the money and run.
What's your thoughts on I thought Kevin Durant looked good in his first preseason action the other night. Shot the ball well. I think it's going to take him a little bit more to get his legs under him, but he looked pretty good, I thought.
The only red flag, I got to find the red flag. The red flag with me was they're talking about playing, and I know UVA is turning into a positionless type of basketball where we're going to put our best five out. You put out whatever you think can match it. It's your best five break. If it ain't, you better come with something type of, you know what I'm saying, they can kind of run back and that. But, like, Kevin Durant at the five, you know, I heard that. I'm not sure. I'm not saying Kevin Durant can score anywhere. But, you know what I'm saying, if he's got to play bigger power forwards, I'll defend them, you know, bigger power forwards and bigger centers, man, regardless of this being a positionless NBA, man, it's going to be favorable. What I did like about New Jersey, but I did like about Brooklyn, is that they're playing fast. Like, this is what everybody kind of wants. It's real fast. So again, you know, you want to see a preseason man. You don't want, I can't take too much away from, but like a preseason man, you just want to see what you know, say if guys got wind, got the air about them, you know what I'm saying, and got the condition together.
Right.
Kind of like you said, and you know what I'm saying, once the season kind of gets in, you want to see what your bench can do. As far as some of the young guys or the younger pieces that you kind of brought in, whether it be rookies or first-year players or free agents, right? But, yeah, those are the things. Brooklyn will be there. It's kind of hard to tell what they'll do against, like, another league, whether it be Miami, Boston, or another playoff team like the Pacers.
Yeah. As long as Kyrie can just shut up and play, I think they'll be all right there. Some other news, John. Paul George, 5 years, $226 million to stay at the Clippers. Pandemic P just got paid.
You got to spend the money. You have to spend the money, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't sound like they could have found a buyer for that contract with Paul George, man. So, and then Kawhi, you know, still has a little bit of, you know what I'm saying, clout with ownership. And like I said, that's who wants to play with. So this is the Eddie make a deal to go out and get some fancy point guard. You know, say, I put it out, hey, maybe Yogi Ferrell, who's, I think, I don't know if Yogi's still unemployed right now, but Yogi would be a pretty good, they need a point guard. They were one of the teams that wanted Darren Collison, the retired Darren Collison, because they wanted this point guard. So Darren Collison, regardless of what you think, him being a Hall of Famer or All-Star, left time, that guy's a good point guard. And that's kind of, it was prevalent when they lost to Denver. They couldn't get it done. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, kudos to Paul George, man. $200 million, he ain't going nowhere. There's nobody.
It's his team.
There's nobody right now that's going to trade for that contract. Not right now.
Absolutely not.
The Clippers. The Clippers right now, and you know, it's on him and Kawhi to get it done.
Okay, sorry. Your face froze for a minute. It looked kind of funny. You got that choppy Wi-Fi over there. Action. Indiana Pacers update. Game 1 preseason the other night. If you have a streaming service, you can't watch it because there's no negotiations with Fox Sports and YouTube TV or Hulu or any of those. But I did find a online stream able to watch. Thoughts early on Pacers. Defensively looks way better than what offensively does, which is, I guess, to say, you know, Bjorklund was talking about going to be a defensive guy. So thoughts on that first preseason game tonight? They play at 6 against Cleveland again.
I'm just concerned about the health of the T.J. Warren. That is what is going to, like, you know, I want to condition it. We look at preseason, you think about conditioning, you think about, you know what I'm saying, rotation. As far as, like, big rotation, that's probably what the coach is kind of looking at. Kind of know Victor Oladipo and Brogdon and T.J. and Sabonis are going to be starters. But, like, what support, like, what Nate might have trusted in the bench, this coach might not necessarily trust. So I think about it, but like the Pacers fell apart when they didn't have the staff, whether it was Lamb, Sabonis, or Victor. So and that now we have TJ with a foot issue as well, man. So those are the things. If 100%, if the Pacers are out there with those particular pieces, man, they can play with anybody. I'm not saying they're gonna, you know what I'm saying, sweep the Lakers in 5 or even take the Brooklyn Nets or even Boston up to 7, in a series or whatever. But like, man, it would just be great to have from a patient to have all your weapons to what you would think would care pressure to be the patient team, and that's gonna be what gets them through this season. We'll go off the big distraction with Victor Oladipo being traded or not.
Right. Moving to call to pro football real quick, John. The Bears and Mitch Trubisky, John. Trubisky, 267 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Bears are in this playoff hunt.
Stop it. I don't want to hurt none of the Bears. You know, they kind of watch follow our show. I don't want to hurt none of their feelings. Man, the Bears, it's not this year, man. Trubisky put on a hell of a show yesterday. Think about it. Who was he going against? He was going against Deshaun Watson. Even though offense don't play one another. Everybody from barbershop to kitchen to wherever you toss one water cooler, they said Watson should have been number one. The Bears didn't take him, so Trubisky took it personal, man. And then again, like I said, Trubisky is also auditioning for a team next year. Is he a starter? I don't think so. But would a team like to have him as a backup plan? He can pass. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the great arm strength down the field when I think about it. But you know, he is a serviceable quarterback. You know what I mean? So, shit, he went out there and played the players we're in. Off the defense already was, you know what I'm saying, my personal opinion, is already elite. But then as far as him making a playoff push, man, I don't know, man. That's going to be tough. That's going to be real tough.
They're only one game back right now. So.
That's all it takes.
Colts beat Raiders, pulled away, running game, Jonathan Taylor. Colts looked great. I brought a comment up today on Twitter, John. I got some attention. I said, do the Colts entertain getting Carson Wentz at quarterback after the Phillip Rivers era ends? And, you know, he's got that relationship with Frank Wright already. And it'd be a way for the Eagles to unload that contract to save a little bit on it.
Right. Well, if the Colts want to do the Philadelphia Eagles a favor, right, and so like that, I think it's like the way that I do. We definitely need Brian Reynolds to break down that contract for us. And I know he's an NBA guy, but he does do the contract breakdown, man. The Colts would absorb a portion of the contract, and the Eagles would still have some dead cap space money that they would own on it, right? I get what there's some. I talked to some of my family members about it as well. Carpool Sports stop here. No, I talked with my family members as well, man. They kind of like it. Like the move, man, because like look what Philadelphia have kind of put together. Like after the Super Bowl, did they add anything? Did they add an offensive lineman? I'm talking about elite. Did they go out and get a wideout for Wentz? They was like, no, this is where they basically let Nick Foles go, and they basically kind of just ran it back the last couple seasons, right? They try to be special. They really wasn't that great of a football team anyway. I'm not saying they're fluky. When they won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that as far as great. Like, listen, sorry, Brandon. Kansas City's great, right? You know what I'm saying? So when you think like that, so like, them trading for Wentz, I don't think happens. But who knows, man? You know what I'm saying? I talked, you got tweeted. Folks tweeted me talking about, why don't we get Sam Darnold a shot? I'm like, man, you know what? If, again, you're not going to like this one either. If Phillip Rivers goes and the Colts beat Texas again, and they somehow, Phillip Rivers goes into Heinz Field and beats the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, you're talking about run back money for Phillip Rivers, are you not?
I would think so. Yeah, absolutely. He would have deserved it. As long as it's not some, like, 41-0 fourth interception game in the playoffs, I think at that point you're okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I always want to run back with
Phillip
Rivers.
Okay. Steelers lose to the Bills last night, John. Offensively, after the first score, the short passes wasn't working. The offensive line got banged up. Defense still banged up. No Joe Hayden. No excuses. You got to have the players to come in there. The team can't. The offensive guys can't catch. Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Juju was the only one able to catch last night. There's problems right now with this offense, and it's been like that all year. We do these Deke and Dink passes, and you know the defense can only hold up so much. And I mean, we were down three or four guys, but you want to usually peak at this time, and I feel like we may have peaked a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a game you said you didn't necessarily like, and it's a game that you kind of wanted. You shouldn't have lost the game and lost this one. And like now, still like lost AFC supremacy. So like now, everything doesn't necessarily run through Pittsburgh. So they can't. They still have. They're not going to do it now. It's not be crazy. But as far as like. You know what I'm saying? Where the championship game may potentially be played, the AFC championship game may potentially be played. Like they can't afford to lose those games, and now they got to hope that Kansas City takes it before the season ends.
Yep. Last two things I have, John. Big Blue Nation, Kentucky Wildcats, 1-4 now. They lost Notre Dame. Calipari and them hurting down there in Lexington.
That's a shock. It's a good shock, right? I don't think Mike Brain. I don't think they thought that they were going to beat Kentucky this year. Kentucky can't. Kentucky doesn't work hard. They've got a bunch of elite level players. Their guys are still kind of learning. If anything, they miss the preseason, the cupcake season. I said if they miss the cupcake season, because you kind of work out all those errors, all those, you know, saying rotational problems. I don't know, man. For whatever reason, Calipari, he knows how to hit the tires. So he's not gonna be on the hot seat. But
right.
Yeah, man. It's not good when you have NBA level talent. And he does. He's got three guys that in 2 or 3 years gonna be in the NBA. They're not gonna be household names. There will be names, right? Roster names on somebody. It's a shame that we can't get these young guys to play because he's cohesive basketball.
Right. Last thing I have, John, our show Wednesday night, Crossroads Sports Radio, the normal show on Blog Talk Radio, presented by Scott Koenig from State Farm Insurance, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., John. We have a monster interview, one half of the reigning, defending, undisputed United Wrestling Network Tag Team Champions, Papo Esco, coming on the show Wednesday night. 7 p.m. is when his call time is. I'm excited, John. Give me a little bit. Give the people a little bit about Papa Esco as a little prep.
Sweet, man. I love this. Like I said, man, Papa Esco, he's been around my tag team partner. They make up the Bodega, right? I kind of watch him. I've watched him consecutively every Saturday. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. It's a great program. I share some of their match highlights and some of their promo interviews. To start tonight and going into Wednesday show, man, these guys, everybody kind of knows, anybody kind of listens to our show, with Danny Limelight knows that he took off like a comet. As you've seen him on AEW, you've seen him on New Japan, and he still got a gig with the championship wrestler from Hollywood. So, man, you know, there's no way And then with them winning the World Tag Team Championships this past weekend, there's no way that I wouldn't want to have Pop Esco. The
King Fat Boy. King Fat Boy,
Papa Esco. King Fat Boy, yeah. King Fat Boy. There's no way I wouldn't want to have the bigger side of Reed to have him on our show. And then I'm going to chop it up with him, ask him about his start and his rise, how he met Limelight, how he got paired with Limelight. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, to be honest with you, man, hopefully he does have the interview in character. I hope he does have of it, you know what I'm saying, and gives us some, I think he would, he gives some of that
stuff. Oh, yeah.
I know people, this is the fine professional wrestlers that listen to the show. So, Papa Esco, that's Brandon, kind of, Brandon looks to Papa Esco, one half of the World Tag Team Champions, will be with us on the interview segment on Wednesday for sure.
Yeah, we're going to take your calls like we did last time, and also we're going to be talking with him. And John, believe, when it comes interview time, I'm going to introduce him as the reigning, defending, undisputed. Oh, I'm going to go Paul Heyman on him, and I hope he loves it. So I did on Twitter, and he loved it. So
yeah, hey man, it's going to be. If anybody listening, it's going to be a fun interview. Fun. You're going to learn a whole lot about championship wrestling before, for sure. He's going to learn a whole lot about Pop Esco. And like I said, man, I think he's going to be one of the. He's one of the now stars, but I think he's going to be one of the future stars that we continue to see, even on regular programming coming in the future.
Absolutely. Last thing, John, prediction tonight, Ravens at the Browns. Ravens are 3-point favorites. I've got the Browns tonight at home. I think they get it done. As much as I don't want them to.
I got the Browns. Right. I got the Browns getting it done, and this is a – if I put them at, won't that put them at 10 wins?
Yes, 10 and 3.
Who has Baker Mayfield? Had Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns having winning ten games. Nobody, man. The coach is unfortunately going to be a great. If you had your coach, whether you say what you root for, whoever you root for, if you don't root for the Cleveland Browns, you ain't gonna, he's going to be coach of the year for sure. And like I said, that team has done better this year because it eliminated the noise. I'm not saying it's better with or without the deeper wide receiver, but. If he comes back from his injury next year, right? As long as I can't believe it if he does, right? He's got to come
right.
He's got to come with less noise. You know what I mean? Because that's the team that's good for it. Whether it's Chubb, the running back, or the defense, it's kind of, it's coming together. You know what I mean? Cleveland tonight, buddy.
All right, perfect. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. We had to get a quick show in, so I appreciate it. See you guys Wednesday night, 6 p.m., Crossroads Sports Radio on Blog Talk, presented by Zachary Nichols and State Farm. Thanks, John.
Thanks for watching.